chapter 3, the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan, text number 9, is it? Tasvapatyanya jannayad Atmatulyani sarvataha
Atmatulyani sarvataha
Ikaikasyam dasa dasa
Ikaikasyam dasa dasa
Prakriter vibhushaya
Prakriter
vibhushaya Tasu unto them Apatyani, offspring, Ajanayat, begot, Atmatulyani,
all like himself,
Saravataha, in all respects, Ekka Ekkasyam, in each and every one of them, Dasha, ten, Dasha, ten. Prakriti, for expanding himself. Vibhubhushaya, so desiring. Just to expand himself according to his transcendental features, the Lord begot in each and every one of them 10 offspring with exactly his own qualities. So this relates to Krishna being the husband of the princesses who were imprisoned by Narakasura. There's no purport. I'll read text 10. Kala magata salvadin anikai rundata puram ajighanat swayam divyam swapumsham teja adishat. Kalayavana, the king of Magadha, and Shalva attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men. I'll read the next couple of verses because they also don't have purports. So tomorrow we can start from text 13. Sambaram dvividam banam muram balvalam evacha anyam chatanta vakradin avadut. Sorry, avadhid kangs chagatayat. Of kings like Sambara, Dvivida, Bana, Mura, Balvala, and many other demons, such as Dantavakra, some he killed himself and some he caused to be killed by others, Sri Baladev, etc. Balaram killed Vidvida. Who killed Banasura? Krishna. Mura. And Balvala. Who killed Balvala? Yeah. So a mixture. Atate bratriputranam pakshayo patitan nipan chachalabu kurukshetram isham. Then, O Vidura, the Lord caused all the kings, both the enemies and those on the side of your fighting nephews, to be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All those kings were so great and strong that the earth seemed to shake as they traversed the war field. So Prabhupada's purport actually relates to all of these verses. The purport to text 10. After the death of Kamsa, when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers of Kalayavana, Jarasandha and Shalva, the Lord seemingly fled from the city. And thus he is known as Rajor, or one who fled from fighting. Forget the fact that he'd already defeated Jarasandha 17 times. But anyway, just a small detail. Actually, the fact was that the Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of his own men, devotees like Muchukunda and Bhima. Kaliyavana and the king of Magadha were killed by Muchukunda and Bhima respectively, who acted as agents of the Lord. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees, as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world, but to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself, but just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Babasavyasa Chin, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his pure, unalloyed devotees. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manomo Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Ganim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, Krishna has a plan. Krishna's plan is multifaceted, multi-dimensional. And as Prabhupada explains, when Krishna comes, then he comes with his entourage. Prabhupada gives the example of the king. When the king comes, then automatically comes the queen, the princesses, the courtiers, the servants, the cooks, the kitchen, the horses, the army, the men. Everybody comes. So when we talk about Krishna, we don't mean Krishna alone. You know, we don't find Krishna alone. He's always accompanied by his associates, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is it? Krishna Varanam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Sango Sangastra Parshadam means he has his associates, his Sangha. You know, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we glorify Lord Chaitanya, you know, very significantly. You know, when it's Krishna, you know, it's maybe Krishna Balaram or you know, Radha Krishna, or sometimes, you know, sometimes the devotees say in the Prema Dvani, what is it, Ashtashakhi, they include the eight Shakhis. But, you know, with Lord Chaitanya, it's Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi, Gaura Bhakta Brinda. You know, there's almost everybody, practically speaking, right? When we glorify Lord Chaitanya and we chant his the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Which is an important point for ISKCON because you know, the pastimes of the devotees in ISKCON are actually the latter-day pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're the pastimes of the Sankirtan movement. And so they're not ordinary activities, but very special demonstration of spiritual practice, or spiritual activity in practice. We may only be practicing devotional service, but it is still devotional service. And so, as a consequence, within the activities of Lord Chaitanya and his associates is the bija, or the seed of Krishna prema, you know, the topmost realization of devotional practice. But just as a mango is a mango from when it just up at New Govardhan, all the trees have got the mango flowers on them, and many of them have even got a small mango. But, so, that little mango is the same as a big mango. It just isn't ripe yet, but it's still a mango. So the activities of devotional service are superior activities to any other type of action in the material world. You know, there's karma, there's vikarma, and there's akarma. Karma means basically following the Vedic rules and regulations, not doing anything bad as such. And vikarma is capricious activity. You know, karma is doing one's duty. But that doesn't necessarily, that karma, unless there's a connection with Krishna, that good karma just keeps us bound in the material world to get the benefits of our good punya. To get the benefits of punya, we have to stick around to enjoy the good. The only problem with enjoying the good in the material world is you have to also suffer the bad. Right? Birth, death, old age and disease. And the good's not that good in any case, usually. Right? How much enjoyment do we experience in our existence if it's not connected to Krishna? Prabhupada quotes, what's his name? I can't remember. A poet who Lord Chaitanya used to listen to. Vidya, is it Vidya Pati? I think it might be Vidya. Is it Vidyapati? I think it's Vidyapati. Prabhupada quotes the verse, and he talks about how material existence is like a desert. Right? What are deserts known for? Vidyapati, yeah. Material life is like a desert. What are deserts known for? Heat. Hot. Scorching heat. Right? And when you're out in the school, we're just getting a taste of summer yesterday. 27, 28 degrees, which is nice. But, around here it can quickly get to 40. And then when it's 40 degrees, how do you feel? Huh? We think, oh. Huh? So, when it's 40 degrees and we've been doing some service, you get very thirsty. Huh? You get extremely thirsty. So if you tell somebody comes along and says, would you like a drink? Say, yeah, I'd love to have a drink. And so he says, here's a drink. He gets an eyedropper out and he puts one drop of water on your tongue. Whoop. Huh? That was it. Right? We want our desire to enjoy happiness is so great, but in the material world, our enjoyment is like, you know, a 40 degree day. Somebody asks you if you want a drink, and then they put one drop of water on your tongue. Huh? So we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. Karma. By karmic activities and the enjoyments that come as a result. And certainly vikarma means we suffer. But the akarma means transcendental activities that are actually part of the spiritual abode. In Goloka Vrindavan, there is one portion set aside for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And in fact, it's mentioned that actually the residents of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes reside in Navadvip and in Vrindavan and Mathura. Right? So when we join the Sankirtan movement, we get a double bonus. It's a bit like, you know, when you get a membership for a club, it's like, get two for the price of one. Right? That's pretty far out, isn't it? Because we didn't know any of this when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, we didn't understand that we were getting a special offer. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in the material world is a very, very, very rare and unique offer, opportunity. Because not only do we enter into the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by engaging in the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan Jagya, but we also, through that sacrifice, we gain entrance into the realm of Goloka through the performance of the Sankirtan. So we should never see the activities of devotional service in a mundane light. Even if it's just an unripe mango, it is still a mango. And if we practice devotional service as it is prescribed by Krishna and Mahaprabhu and the Parampara and our Srila Prabhupada, because in ISKCON we're all followers of Prabhupada Anugas as such, if we learn the techniques, you know, Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness for us to learn the techniques of spiritual life through the activities of the Sankirtan movement. Right? Through basically what we call preaching. But of course that means so many things. So many activities. Cleaning the floor is preaching. Right? Keeping the temple clean is preaching. Washing the pots is preaching. Dressing the deity is preaching. Even getting up in the morning is preaching for the devotees. They're setting an example. Right? Just preach, you know, we think preaching is just, you know, talking to somebody and telling them about Krishna and how they should surrender. Or giving them a Bhagavad Gita. Certainly that's like the tip of the arrow. Right? The tip of the arrow. But behind the arrow there's a shaft and there's feathers. You know, if you don't have all of that behind the arrow, how far does the head go? Right? The Sankirtan, you know, the head of the arrow depends on so much else for it to strike the target. Right? Or, you know, these guided missiles. So much technology going on the ground to get it to, you know, blow up a Malaysian Airlines flight that's minding his own business going home. Right? So much technology behind it. So similarly, you know, behind the frontline book distribution, Sankirtan Party, there's so much support. That's all part of the devotional practice of Mahaprabhu. Cooking prasadam. You know, plates of prasadam are like bombs, right? The books are like missiles. The plates of prasadam are like bombs. When you take prasadam, then you just exploded your material life, right? So, you know, all of these activities, you know, we look at the Crossways van driving down to Crossways, and, you know, they just look like the guy who delivers the postal, you know, cartons, parcels, driving in a van. I think our van looks more dinged up than his, though. But there's a difference in activity. The activity is devotional activity. Now, Lord Chaitanya predicted that in every town and village, the chanting of the holy name would be heard. And certainly Lord Chaitanya is potent enough to have done it himself. Right? He could have done it. Krishna can do anything. Right? It's like Krishna could have fought the battle of Kurukshetra by himself. Or he could have cleaned up. He already defeated Jarasandha 17 times. So it's not that, you know, he was lacking in any competency. Krishna doesn't lack anything. He's the Purnam, right? The complete. But to demonstrate his completeness, he leaves parts of his transcendental plan to be accomplished or to be performed by his devotees. Krishna, like, you know, Krishna is, what's his name? He likes to be glorified. You know, it's appropriate for Krishna to be glorified. And Krishna likes to be glorified. Because, you know, when we engage in a sankirtan, which is the glorification of Krishna, then we benefit. Right? We're the ones who benefit from that activity. Krishna doesn't need to be glorified in one sense. He already has everything. Right? But when we glorify Krishna, we become purified. Our envy is removed. Our selfishness is purified. Stava Priya, right? Stava Priya is the name of Krishna, which means he likes to hear his glorification. But in the knowledge that it's beneficial for the person who's performing the sankirtan, in our case, the sankirtan. And for those who engage in the sankirtan movement, they get the glorification. They get the benefits and the glorification of liberating the conditioned souls. So Lord Chaitanya could, just as Krishna could have could have fought the battle of Kurukshetra, could have defeated Jarasandha. He didn't. He left that opportunity or that service to his devotees for the glorification of the devotees. That's also part of Krishna's plan. We can see that in Prabhupada's case, you know, Prabhupada, you know, his presence was predicted. That his activities were predicted. Because that doesn't mean it was any easier for him. Right? You know, as if, oh, you know, it was easy for Prabhupada because, you know, Krishna had already made the arrangement. Or that it was easy for Arjuna. Right? Just because Krishna has made the arrangement or allowed the devotee to perform the service, that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges for the devotees. Because if it was easy, if Krishna just made all of the arrangements, then, you know, there wouldn't be that much glory in doing the service. And the devotee knows that ultimately Krishna's doing it, you know, Matasmiti Jnanam Apavanam Cha. He's providing us the remembrance, the knowledge, the forgetfulness. He's the, you know, the ability in man. So the devotees know ultimately that Krishna is providing the facility, but that facility is provided in consideration of and in appreciation of the amount of surrender that is demonstrated by the devotee. It's not that, you know, we just pop up in the morning and just slot into the groove of Krishna's plan, right? And then it's all just, you know, everybody just bows down as we walk through life. Huh? Have you noticed that? Do you have people opening up doors for you? When you get into the car, somebody opens up the door for you? Does that happen to you? Anybody? Huh? No? Maybe when your kids get older, they'll open up the door for you. You'll have to be a lot older. So, but, you know, Krishna does... he's very happy when he sees the devotees surrendering. Yayata mam prapadyate. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Not that we're looking for rewards necessarily. Although some devotees do. We do look for reward in our service. But generally you don't get it if that's what you look... You know, that's not what we should be looking for. Some recognition for doing our service. If we're looking for recognition for doing our service, what's that called? What's that a symptom of? Pride, yeah, pride. Does Krishna like pride? No. But he likes to see his devotees glorified. He likes to be glorified himself, and he also likes the devotee to be glorified. Huh? But of all of the qualities, I suspect, certainly one of the topmost, a devotee should be glorified for his humility, not for his pride. Right? Who was the devotee in Chaitanya Leela who was known to be very proud? Anybody read the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yes, Ramchandra Puri, not Ramchandra Khan, he's a demon. Wasn't he? You know, what's that name of that devotee who looked after the guest facility in Mayapur? Charu. What's his name? Badra Charu, is it?
Yes.
I remember he put on a play once and he was Ramchandra Khan. And he's a really good actor. He came in, Ami Ramchandra Khan. And he came, really. But he's a demon. No, Ramchandra Puri. And what was Ramchandra Puri famous for?
Finding
faults in others. So, was he very popular? No, the devotees avoided him. Because he's always finding fault. Of course, mind you, you know, some of us do have to find fault. Right? To improve things. So finding fault, you know, may be the service of somebody who's a manager. But that service, just like Prabhupada sometimes criticized his disciples. Right? He said, don't mind, but it's my duty. But, you know, to have the carrot, you know, to have that pride and to have that fault-finding mentality, you know, automatically, that's not a good quality. So, you know, we what is it? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. That we say that prayer, but do we really mean it? Right? Nadanam, no wealth. Najanam, no followers. Nasundarim, no beautiful wife. Right? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim. Tavitam va jagada isha kamaye. My desire is to be your servant life after life. So this is the epitome of devotional practice, is to simply desire to serve. So that's that surrender. Yayata mam prapadyate. Let me just do whatever service is required for the preaching. Then that devotee will be glorified. And that can be a little tiresome, actually, you know. I don't know if you don't get any reciprocation from what you're doing, then life is a little unkind, isn't it? Right? Just do your service and nobody says what a good fellow you are. Isn't it? Then we get, you know, we become despondent. Oh, I'm not getting what I want. It's not fair. Right? But if we approach Krishna with the right motivation, then Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So when we feel a lack of reciprocation from Krishna, it's usually because our desire is to, you know, to get something and we're not getting it. So it's not pure. You know, Krishna wants to glorify the devotees. He wants to glorify us if we're engaged, you know, properly in devotional service, but he won't if it's not good for us. Yet we think, oh, I'm not getting what I want. Because, you know, the process of devotional service is actually susukam, katam avyayam. You know, it's enjoyable and it's everlasting. So when we're engaging in devotional service and we're unhappy, then it usually means that we're not actually doing the service properly. We're not surrendering to Krishna. We're surrendering to our own, you know, material aspirations. And that's why we're not happy. Because you can't be happy in the material world. But if we're engaged properly in devotional service, then we're not in the material world, actually. We're in the spiritual world. We're part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. And that's Sukham Kartam Avyayam. That's Krishna's transcendental plan.
We're just thinking, oh, how come going to Crossways is Krishna's plan? Right? How come I got to do this? I want to preach. I want to chart my rounds. Right? Prabhu. Right? So, you know, in essence, what we're doing is telling Krishna what we want, not asking Krishna, what do you want? Right? We've got to watch that. It's a disease to just be asking Krishna, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing. Radhavallabha, give me this, give me that. I want to be happy. But the happiness is not derived from devotional service, which is, you know, Brahma Sukham. We know when we're properly engaged in devotional service because we become happy. That's why we're here. But, you know, what happens is, what tends to happen and what can happen is we become familiar. And familiarity breeds contempt. We become familiar with chanting Hare Krishna. We go, oh, I've got to get up and jump around again. Rather than seeing it as the opportunity it is to associate closely with Krishna and to connect with ourselves. So, Krishna is providing us with service, and that service is ultimately for the glorification, it's for the glorification of Krishna, but ultimately it's also for the glorification of the devotee. Right? Especially for the devotee who is doing the service as service. You know, facilities will come, glorification will come naturally to the devotees. But as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in the Madhurya Kadambini, devotional service can also give rise to anattas itself. So we have to be careful. In the practice of devotional service, we have to be careful not to allow the anattas of pride, false prestige, position, whatever, you know, a good wife, a good husband, money, pats on the back. We'll get pats on the back anyway, but, you know, our friends will. If you haven't got any friends, you will make friends in due course of time. Don't worry. You'll have more friends than you can poke a stick at if you become a devotee. You know, when I first became a devotee, and I was sitting in classes, you know, Sunday morning in the... Actually, you know, one of the biggest shocks for me, I'll tell you, one of the biggest shocks for me joining the temple was you couldn't sleep in on Sunday. Right? And on Sunday, you didn't just sit around doing nothing, spacing out, you know, just... You had to go into the kitchen and cook with korma. Right? And so, you know, you had to do stuff. And you do it right, too. You know, you can just go in and do any old thing. You had to cut the sabji up a particular... There would be a piece of sabji on the windowsill, right? And that's the size that you had to cut the sabji. Because, you know, devotees get lazy and then they start chopping them bigger and bigger and bigger because it takes less time. Right? So at the beginning, everything's the right size. By the end of this, it's just, you know, chuck the whole thing in. But Korma was, you know, a hard taskmaster. Come on. You know, Korma used to like to make every... And, you know, Korma's offerings were huge because he's cooking for 300 or 400 people. Actually, you know, some Sunday feasts, we used to do stuffed puris. Right? Stuffed puris, which means you had to cook the puris, you had to cook the filling, and then sprinkle masala on top or tamarind chutney on top or whatever. So imagine the amount of work that would go into making stuffed puris. Imagine if we were making stuffed puris for the Sunday feast this afternoon. All of us would now have to go into the kitchen. Right? But then what kind of an effect would a stuffed puri have on the guests? It's like, wow! They'll be lining up to take them home. Right? Well, the devotees will be lining up before the feast comes out. Filling up their, you know, their canisters. This is a, Kong would say, this is a canister adhikari. So, you know, Sunday, you're supposed to take it easy. Look at Sunday at the Hare Krishna temple, no. You work twice as hard as you do during the week. But it's for the pleasure of Krishna. That's devotional. That's devotional service. There's not much reward. But the reward is not. The reward is intangible in one sense because it's a spiritual reward. If we're always in picking and choosing as what kind of service we want to do, and what place we want to do our service, and you know, everything perfect arrangement in the material world. As Chinchiripa mentioned yesterday, we're discussing something different. You never get off of the bodily concept of life. The transcendental platform is to relish, well, first of all, appreciate and recognize that the activities of Krishna when he comes into the material world are not material. Janma kama chame divyam. Right? Janma kama chame divyam. What's the next word? Evam. What is it? One person. What's the next line? Evam. Bhavati tatvataha. Is it? Chaktva deham puna janma nayeti mam eti sorojuna. Right? Or sometimes Prabhupada says, kuntaya, in his lectures. So we are to recognize that Krishna's activities, looks like he's a coward sometimes, right here, being described. He ran away from Jarasandha, he ran away from Kaliyavana. Right? Kaliyavana saying, stand, come on, fight, what's wrong with you? And Krishna just kept walking and he kept running. Then Krishna hid in the cave and Kaliyavana was looking around. He could see somebody lying on the ground and he said, yeah, what are you doing lying on the ground? Get up and fight. Huh? So he thought it was Krishna hiding from him. So then he put the boot in. Right? You know, no Kshatriya would kick another Kshatriya, right? Well, maybe. But no, they fight with their weapons. Which is why Krishna didn't want to fight with Kaliyavana because he was a malecha, he was an untouchable. And also he wanted to glorify Muchukunda. Right? So Kaliyavana puts the boot into Muchukunda. Muchukunda wakes up. Kaliyavana doesn't realize that he's in for it. He's about to get cooked. And Muchukunda had been given the blessing by the demigods that he could sleep without being woken, and that if somebody did wake him up, then he'd burn him to ashes. So that was the end of Kaliyavana, right? For the glorification of Muchukunda, who just wanted to have a good sleep. You know, that's what we want to do on a Sunday, right? We don't want to go into the kitchen and help cook the Sunday feast. We think it's Sunday. We're supposed to have a rest. Huh? Although, you know, there is a place for recreation and rest in devotional service so that we have a balance. We need to have a balance in our devotional life. But our devotional service needs to be finely tuned to serving Krishna and serving the devotees. And appreciating that the opportunities for service are ultimately for our benefit, and the devotees will be glorified and recognized. Our process of devotional service is such that the advanced devotees manifest gradually, like the moon rises gradually and expands and becomes the full moon very gradually. And it is done by the humble practice of of devotional service. Whatever it may be, it's an elevated activity to sweep the courtyard or clean the temple room or just to, put the buckets in the back of the van to go to Crossways. We shouldn't think of it as anything other than a transcendental practice. Even when we're tired and it's, another customer comes in and it's, 30 seconds to 4 o'clock when we knock off. That's the real test, right? Krishna will test us at various times. Usually when we're the most stressed, the most anxiety, that's when we get tested. Who's an example? Maharaj Parikshit is an example. Thirsty, tired, expecting a warm welcome from Samika Rishi, and he just gets the cold shoulder. Right? So what did he do? Garlanded him with a snake. Of course, that's Krishna's arrangement. It was a test, but it's also Krishna's arrangement. But we shouldn't think the tests we get, they are Krishna's arrangement, but we should try to pass the test. But if we don't, we can take it as Krishna's arrangement. Of course, we learn. We're humbled very often. We start to think, I'm really into this. I can do it now. I've really got it down. And then Krishna comes along and whoop, trips us up. Or circumstances come along and trip us up. To make us humble. And as we develop the quality of humility, the other qualities, utsahan, nischaya, dharyat, enthusiasm, determination, patience, following tat tat karma pravartanat, following the rules and regulations of devotional service, staying in the association of the devotees, we make very rapid spiritual advancement. Very rapid. Maya's always telling us, you're not really happy, you're not really having a good time, you should go somewhere else. You're not really making advancement. Right? This is Maya's trick. Just like the example is, it's like flying in a Airbus 380 at 43,000 feet in the air. You look out and you look down and it doesn't look like you're going very fast. Right? But try jumping out of the aeroplane and you'll find out how fast you're actually going. So actually making huge progress. Travelling at, 800 kilometres an hour. So when we're engaged in devotional service, with the right mood and the right mentality, accepting the devotional service that we're given as being a special opportunity to make spiritual progress, which it is, we make really rapid advancement. But sometimes it doesn't look like it because we're moving along with everybody else. And so, like when you're in an airplane and you look around and everybody's, they're all static in relationship. Okay, you can get up and walk around. But in relationship to each other, we're all moving ahead at the same speed. So it doesn't look like anything's happening. But we're actually making, rapid spiritual progress. Because we're part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We're part of that transcendental engagement of devotional service in preaching. Regardless of what the activity is, it's purely spiritual activity. When we perform that activity with purely spiritual motivations, then we're able to connect to Krishna very, very easily. We're able to connect with the devotees very, very easily. And our material attachments will be removed gradually, gradually, imperceptibly. Our chanting will be effective. Our connection with Krishna will be, you know, we'll be able to feel it. Just like, you know, when we first come to the temple, then we feel the change of atmosphere. We feel the rasa. You feel it when, you know, if you've been out on Sankirtan or you've been out at work, you know, and you've been just dealing with mudhas, right, with kamis. You feel the weight of that exchange, don't you? When you go to work, you feel the weight of the ugra karma, right? No, you feel it. And then when you walk in, I remember when we used to go out on Sankirtan, you know, you drive home and it would just be a relief to drive in the back gates, like, ah, oh, great, we're in the temple now. All the anxiety goes away. Right? Because it's the domain of pure devotional service. Or it should be. It's what we should be doing here. Right? Pure devotional service. And, you know, it's not that exalted. You know, we think, oh, you know, that's for the gurus or for the sannyasis. It's for everybody. Not something that we can't do. The only reason why we don't do it, it's not because we can't do it, it's because we don't do it, it's because we choose not to. We choose to hang on to our material attachments and our desires to keep the material, you know, to be happy in the material world. Despite the fact that we know that it's not possible, or we should know that it's not possible, we hang on. Right? We hang on to those desires. So we have to learn how to release ourselves from our material expectations and absorb ourselves in the spiritual atmosphere. Then when we absorb ourselves in the spiritual atmosphere, then miracles will happen. Krishna will reciprocate in wonderful ways that we could never imagine. So that's a wonderful opportunity for us out, you know, rising early in the morning and sitting down quietly with the devotees to chant our rounds is just an extraordinary experience. An extraordinary opportunity to immediately connect with Krishna and to, you know, rise out of the tamagun, because we need tamagun, right? We need, our life has to be a balance of the various gunas, and so in one sense, you know, it's sattvic to be in tamagun when it's time to sleep, of course, not in the Bhagavatam class or you know, when we're supposed to be driving the car somewhere. That's not the time to sleep. That really is tamagun, but we need to sleep. But, you know, as a result of sleeping, there's a bit of tamagun. So when we rise early, we have to shake off the tamagun and then absorb ourselves in the shuddha sattva of chanting Hare Krishna with pure intent. Then when we do that, Krishna reciprocates in wonderful ways. And as a result of the performance of that kind of activity, the lives of the devotees become glorious. We're not looking for the glory. Look at Kalavecha Sridhar. He wasn't looking for, you know, anything but devotional service. He had no money. And in fact, Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was a poor banana leaf seller, and Lord Chaitanya practically would come along and steal his banana leaves. Huh? He's already, you know, he's already selling them at a cheap price, and Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you cheating us for?" Or he's, you know, "I'll take it for half the price, and even then you're cheating me." And Kalavecha, Sridhar didn't mind, because he was happy to serve. He didn't mind that Krishna was stealing from him, right? How would you like it if Krishna stole stuff from you? Think of your favorite possession. What's your favorite possession? Your iPhone? Huh? What happened if Krishna steals your iPhone? What are you going to do? "Hey, Krishna, what are you doing? You stole my iPhone." "Give it back." Well, you could. You could argue, "This is for my service." Right? There's a way. There's probably a way you can get it back for your service. Krishna takes things away, but if we need it for our service, he'll give it back pretty quick. So long as we have the maturity to use those things in Krishna's service, then he'll provide everything. Right? When I joined a temple, he took my car, my bike, my wife, my record collection, everything. My hair. Lost a lot. And I was crying. Huh? "Oh no, what's happened? My whole life has been destroyed." Huh? My life as I knew it was destroyed. So I had nothing. I thought, "Oh no, what's going to happen? What will my mum and dad think?" Huh? Previously I didn't care what my mum and dad thought. But then what I discovered was, you know, if I surrendered to the, whatever it was, in those days the biggest surrender was the kitchen cleanup. For me anyway. Although, you know, there were many other surrenders. Going on Sankirtan, you know, having to deal with so many people. And you know, we used to wear wigs in those days when we go out on Sankirtan. When we're selling things, that was hard too. You know, hot 38 degree day, and you got this thing on your head that's squeezing your head in. So you get it, you get back into the car and you go, whoosh, pull your wig off, and of course then the wig has left all of these lines on your head. One day I went into a factory in Dandenong, and I said, "Does anybody want to buy any candles?" And the bloke said, yeah, "we know somebody, mate. We'll go and get him for you." So they went out in the back and they brought this bloke out, this fairly older gentleman, and he had a wig on. So they did it just to embarrass me. And we used to go into the pubs and people would say, "Hey, mate, I'll give you $10 if you take your wig off." So, you know, Krishna will destroy our concept of who we are and take away everything from us from the material perspective. But if we learn how to use it, if we engage ourselves in Krishna's service enthusiastically, you know, he may destroy our merit, not may, Krishna will destroy our material life. But that's what we're praying for. Right? Isn't it? When we sit down and chant Hare Krishna, we say, Krishna, they don't tell us this when we first start chanting. But basically, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're saying, Krishna, please destroy my material life. Right? And then when Krishna destroys our material life, we say, hey, what's going on? Right? But Krishna's saying, well, you asked me to destroy your material life. Now I'm doing it. You don't want it. So what do you want? Right? We were kind of in a bit of schizophrenia, you know. We say, Krishna, I want to be your devotee. Then Krishna makes all the arrangements. And no, I don't want to be your devotee. Effectively, that's what we're saying. Because he takes away the, you know, he's Hari. He takes away. But Prabhupada says, you've got two hands, he's got 10 hands. How much can you hold on to with your two hands when he's taking away with his 10? Who's going to win? Right? But, you know, we're stubbornly hanging on to things. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, you know, the material desires pop up and we think, okay, that's pretty good. I was thinking about that last week, actually. Well, I've been thinking about that for the whole of my life. But we keep hanging on to it. Krishna wants to take it away. We want to hang on. So as we're hanging on, then that's what's stopping us from allowing Krishna to mold us, to make us into the devotee that he wants. And that can be, you know, that's a challenge. But when we become part of the Sankirtan movement, then we need to recognize what are the activities of the Sankirtan movement. And we need to recognize what role or what service or what kind of a devotee Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada want us to be, and allow them to mold us into the devotees that they want, not the devotee that we think we should be. That may not be what Krishna wants. And when Krishna sees us ready to accept the role that he has, you know, cut out for us, then he will give us all of the things back that he took away. Because all of those things, ultimately, they're not material things, they're spiritual. They come from the material energy, ultimately comes from the spiritual energy. And it can be spiritualized again. So Krishna gives it back to us when we're able to use it in his service, purely. So, as Prabhupada says, then how much can you hold with your two hands? Krishna's got 10 hands, he'll give you much, much more than you can manage. And in that way, he glorifies his devotees, especially those devotees who are not looking for any particular material achievement or perfection or whatever. In fact, if we're looking for the material perfection, for material enjoyment or material position, what is it? Name, fame, glory. That's not the purpose of devotional life. But Krishna may give it. He will give it. He'll give us facility to serve him when we serve him the way that Krishna wants us to serve. So, you know, Krishna could be doing all of these things himself. But especially in the Sankirtan movement of Mahaprabhu, he wants to give the glory to us, his devotees. But he, you know, he'll only do that when we develop the proper service mood and recognize that all of the activities of devotional service are purely spiritual, even if one appears to be higher or lower, and that we can connect with Krishna through all of these activities when we enthusiastically throw ourselves into the service. And it will change. You know, I used to think, well, I'd be sweeping the floors and mopping the prasadam hall every day for the rest of my life. Right? And for me, at that time, I was thinking, you know, every time a new devotee joined, I think, great, here's somebody else that's going to come and now do my service. Right? In fact, we see it here sometimes, you know, a new devotee comes along and then, you know, the brahmacharis very quickly give them their service. Here you go, here you can have my service. Highest thing to do is serve Krishna. Then they give their service away. Right? They don't then go to the temple commander or the temple president and say, I've given my service to somebody else, what else would you like me to do? Right? They don't do that. So I was thinking, you know, and for me, the amount of time, you know, it might have been about 4 months, I think, that I washed the floors every day. But at that time, I thought it was like, you know, yugayatam sunyayatam, you know, it was a yuga. I used to think, when can I go out on Sankirtan? Yeah, here's a new devotee. Ah, great, now I can go out on Sankirtan. And then he'd get to do something else, and I'd still be stuck mopping the floors. But I knew Sankirtan is the highest. But actually, it's all Sankirtan. And when we, you know, get to engage as Krishna wants us to, then, you know, it'll change. We won't be doing the same thing forever. Although it may feel like it. Like, especially, you've just got married, right? Is this going to go on forever? Well, maybe if you're newly married, it hasn't hit yet, right? But there's a point where it kind of gets drudgery. Just like being in the Brahmacharini ashram or the Brahmachari ashram, getting up in the morning is like drudgery. I've got to get up. You know, we ate too much sweet rice at the Sunday feast. Right? We wake up in the morning. What happened? I thought they said no intoxication. I feel like I've, you know, went to the pub last night. So anyway, Prabhupada says here, what he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. Right? And we are confidential devotees of Krishna. We shouldn't think we're not. Or if we're not, we should become a confidential devotee of Krishna. What is a guhyatamam? Krishna says, I'll now give you this confidential knowledge. Right? Prabhupada says confidential means to understand that we're not the body. So the transcendentalists who just understand the Brahman, that's confidential. Right? But we know more than that. We should know more than that. We know that Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati means being engaged in devotional service. Being on the Brahman platform means being engaged in devotional service. So we were automatically elevated to the platform of a confidential devotee by following the instructions of the spiritual master. That's how we become confidential devotees of Krishna. Right? Krishna says, Sava Dhammam Parityaja. Okay, surrender to me. So we say, how do we surrender? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Respectfully approach the spiritual master, inquire from him, and then what? Do the service. Right? Do the seva. Sevaya. That's the essence, if you like, of devotional service, devotional practice. Then that's how we come to know the process. process of devotional service through hearing and inquiry. Then we meditate on that instruction. But when we met the devotees, we meditated on their instructions and we wavered, right? When we met the devotees, they said, surrender to Krishna. We said, how do you surrender? They said, follow Prabhupada. So we were making a decision. What will I do? Will I join a temple? Will I become a member of ISKCON? Or will I keep doing what I'm doing? Right? It's probably so long ago for some of us, we forgot that that's what we did. Right? But then at some point we made a choice. Yes, I'm going to surrender. Didn't we? Do you remember? That long ago? Hands up if you remember. Yeah, remember. But now we're saying, oh, no, I'm not sure now. We've gone back to the wavering stage. Right? So we've got to get back to the surrendering stage. And we do that by taking the instructions of the spiritual master. Now, when we do that, and we start to learn the process of devotional service, we then become an intimate devotee, an intimate associate of Krishna. Or, if we haven't become, we have the opportunity to do so. That's the reality of our practice of devotional service. We shouldn't put it off. Or we shouldn't think that there's something. The only thing that's blocking us from getting to be an intimate associate of Krishna is if we hold back. Krishna wants and is prepared to reciprocate, but if we're holding back, then he holds back. Right? So it's up to us to recognize the transcendental activities of Krishna, and that Krishna's waiting to reciprocate with us, and he is reciprocating to a point, but we need to surrender, you know, more of our misconceptions and awaken ourselves to the full conception of spiritual life as it is manifest in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is a wonderful spiritual opportunity for it's our step into the spiritual world. But just as Krishna performs his pastimes on different, you know, in different universes, or different planets and different universes, and the devotees take birth in those pastimes to be elevated into his association, so they become a Nitya Siddha devotee. So similarly, also the Sankirtan movement is spreading all over this planet, providing us with the same opportunity. And like I said before, it's a double offer. Right? It's two for the price of one. You get an opportunity to reside in Nabadweep Dham, and you get an opportunity to reside in Goloka Dham as well, or, you know, Krishna Loka. Pretty good deal, huh? Good deal. And, you know, maybe Ramchandra, you know, whatever Leela you want, you can join, if you like. But certainly for us, we've got the Sankirtan Jagya, and the Sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and we have the service of Radha and Krishna. That's what's waiting for us in the spiritual realm. So we should take advantage of it. How's that sound? Better get to work, huh? Does anybody have any comments or questions? Jai Jagannath. Come and have a chat with me and I'll tell you. I'll introduce you to a couple of people who can give you some hints. Seva, service. He wants service. Kasturika.
Prabhu, you mentioned familiarity being
Yeah, because we learn the art of service. We learn how to deal with devotees. We learn the practical art of devotional service. It's meant to be done humbly and submissively, but at the same time there's room for negotiation, you know, there's discussion about what we're doing. So it's not just being like a robot. But yet we have to be careful that we don't become too familiar. We have to be respectful. So, you know, respectful, also friendly, will develop friendships as devotees. Right? But we also have to do that in the context of understanding our position and our relationship with senior, peer, junior, and so forth. Devotional service means becoming aware of our position and status in the equation. Just like Srila Prabhupada was an exalted, you know, Vaishnav, Thakur, Paramahamsa, Parivrajakacharya, extraordinaire, who knew that his place was special. Prabhupada was not unaware of the fact that he was the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? And his unique position. And he defended and, you know, maintained and established that position despite sometimes his disciples, you know, forgetting that that's what they should do. He would remind them. But at the same time, he never let that, you know, go to his head. And, you know, he was always very humble servant of the devotees as well. So we need to know our place, right? In the equation of things. The temple president can't, you know, not instruct people or not make plans. That's his service. He should do it as a service to the devotees and to his spiritual masters, the community. If he struts around the place, I'm the temple president, you know, you should do what I tell you to do just because I'm the temple president. Well, okay, actually there is benefit in doing that even. But it shouldn't be done from an egotistical platform, it should be done from a platform of devotional service and to maintain the institution. So, you know, whatever our role, we may be a kitchen manager, we may be the restaurant manager, we may be the head pujari. We should know that's our role and that we have a responsibility to see things get done in a particular way, right? That's okay. That comes with the turf. So we should know where we stand in the equation and how we then should relate to others and not become familiar. But respectful all the time. You know, this is every morning we pay our obeisances to the devotees for the offences that we committed the previous day. So why did Prabhupada institute that? Keep harmony. To remind us that we're a servant of all of the devotees. And that we probably did a few offences the previous day. But we should learn, you know, quickly not to do that. But we make mistakes also. We're faulty. We have the four defects. But a devotee who's a Majjhimadhikari is able to recognise Krishna, the devotees, the demons, and the innocent. And he learns very quickly. We should learn quickly. Prabhupada says, you know, we should come to the Majjhimadhikari platform as soon as possible, quickly as possible. He then sees in the devotees, there's the Uttama Adhikari, Majjhimadhikari, Kanishta Adhikari. And he relates with each one of them differently. And he knows, or she knows, where they fit in the scheme of things. That's called self-realization. Then we act accordingly. Okay, with that little whistle, it's time to finish. Okay. Okay, Gaudiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Daylight.